What you thinking of? That song came to mind. I put it on some of our highlight videos that I have on YouTube and stuff like that, but it's a good one. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. Everything old about you has passed away. God ain't worried about that. God is not trying to have you be that old person because he's taking you to something new. Amen? Y'all ready for it? Come on. Fathers, y'all want to hear some dad jokes? I got a few dad jokes here. Y'all know I don't tell jokes. So I got a few. These aren't mine. So I'm going to just say a few of them. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. How come it was called the Dark Ages? Because there was a lot of knights with the K. Right? What do you call fake fettuccine? Impasta. Why did the Cowboys get a wiener dog? He wanted to get a long little doggy. I tried to catch fog and I missed. Y'all ready to round this up? How do you find Will Smith in the snow? Look for the Fresh Prince. All right, last one. What happens when a frog's car breaks down? It gets towed. That's some corny Father's Day jokes right there. I didn't write them. Mine would have been better. Fathers have the role of being the provider and protector of the family, but not only that, they get the love, they get the encourage, and help to strengthen and lead their family. Every single day we get that task, and it is an honorable task for us to do that. It's not an easy job, and neither is the mother's role within the marriage. Fathers did not start the idea of giving their children what they needed, loving them unconditionally. That came from our Heavenly Father. That came from him. We get that example from him on how we live our life, how we love our children, how we do things, and how we treat our wife, and we love our wives as Christ loves the church. This is what we do. That example is throughout the Word of God. If you open up your Bibles to Luke 11, it says here in verse 11, "You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead?" Now here's Jesus asking a simple question, but yet defining how great your Heavenly Father is. These few scriptures right here can teach some examples on how you can be a loving father to your own kids. If they ask you for something, will you intentionally give them something else? That answer should be no, unless it's funny. If you ask according to the will of God, who wants you to ask him, and will he give you something entirely different or evil? No, he won't. Or if they, in verse 12, it says, or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. Now remember, Jesus in the previous chapter had given them all authority over scorpions and serpents and things of that nature. In verse 13, it says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes people are turned off about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't want something else. I heard that years ago. I mean, if I ask the Holy Spirit, if I ask God for the Holy Spirit, will he give me some demon or some demonic thing? No. Because you can read this passage right here. This is what Jesus is saying to you. I will not give you, the Heavenly Father will not give you something evil when you ask for something good. You can trust. How many of you have those relatives? You may have a sibling. You may have a relative or what have you, an aunt or uncle or your grandparents. When it comes to giving presents, you can't wait to get their gift because you know that they are a good gift giver. And then there are some that will just give you some jacked up stuff, and it's just like, Hopefully you don't do that. But you love the gifts. You can't wait to be around them. You can't wait to open up that gift because they hit it on the spot because it was thoughtful. It was loving. It was compassionate. They literally took their time to get you something that you truly needed. Your Heavenly Father is so much greater than that. He won't give you anything ill-fitting. He won't give you anything that is just going to hurt you and destroy your life when you ask for something good. We shouldn't be hesitant to ask our Father. How do you know you're going to get the Holy Spirit and not anything else? Because Jesus said so. And the gifts that God gives us are good gifts. Even when he created the heavens and the earth and called and said, let there be light. And there was light. And he saw the light and he said that it was good. You don't ever have to question anything on whether or not you're going to receive something evil from God. Ever. That's the confidence you have in him. Otherwise, why ask? Lord, I'll just do it myself. I'll just walk around and act like I have it. See, we may not be perfect dad to our kids, but they need to know that we will do what we can to give them good gifts when they ask to show the good side of us as well, not just the tough side. Fathers got to be tough on some of their kids. They have to be. That's part of life. But you don't want to have your kids beat up in school. You got to be tough. How many of you were rough on your children, your sons? Not your daughters, your sons. That's part of life. They're over here saying, see, Dexter, see, Dad, you ain't supposed to. No, but you got to teach your daughters to be tough, too, because you don't want any stank boys coming around. You don't want any frogs coming around. The greatest gift that you can give to your children is Jesus. Teaching them about Jesus and how to receive them as their Lord and Savior. Receive him. I have a lot of great memories of being a dad. And one of those great memories I had when I was just chilling on the couch, you know, back in the day, they have on A&E, they have those old stories about Jesus and his disciples and stuff. So I'm sitting there watching it. And all of a sudden, Isaiah comes out and he looks at me. He goes, who's that? I said, Jesus. Then he hops up on the couch and says, where's Peter at? I said, Peter is right there. He was about 5 or 6. And then, so he's just sitting right by my side. And then Ethan comes out a little later. And then he just plops on my other side. So I'm just watching. And then Tosiah came out with her little stuffed animal with a pacifier in her mouth and goes, you know, the Lion King thing, just like basically picked me up. And I picked her up, put her on my lap. And we're sitting there watching Jesus and his disciples, just having a good time. I think TJ was still a baby and laying in bed or what have you. But that was a God moment for me. It was awesome. I didn't have to force them to do it. They just came and sat right beside me. And see, and our Heavenly Father wants us to do that too. He wants us to get in his presence, sit right beside him, listen to him, converse with him. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've been going to church since forever. I think it was about 1 year or two that I didn't go. It was probably my first year when I was here until I met Kristen. But I went there faithfully, even if I didn't want to. But the thing about it is that in June, I think it's about June, maybe about the same time. I've been here 25 straight years. And that means I've been in Kansas longer than I lived in California. Gosh. Chris is like, you're a Jayhawk now. No, you're a Kansan now. But here's the thing. Been in ministry for 18 years. We started out cleaning the toilets in 2000. Been doing this for 18 years. There hasn't been one Monday or one Thursday that I've ever felt that I needed to quit. When you're called to do something, you're called. And one of the things that has helped me out was in Matthew 11. You have that scripture. That was probably the last scripture I gave you. I'm jumping around. Not Luke, Matthew. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. This is Jesus talking. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. See, those rests that you're supposed to be taking, it's not, well, I'm going to just take this day off and I'm going to go golf and I'm going to go do this. It's a real rest with Jesus. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the way that God wants you. That's how Jesus wants you. He wants you to live a life free of all the junk that's going on, and he wants it to be light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's not putting heavy things on you. Society will put heavy things on you. People will put heavy things on you, but Jesus will never, ever put anything heavy on us in that sense that we wouldn't be able to take care of. So what's got you drowning? You know, ships don't sink because of all the water that's in them, around them. They sink because of all the water that's in them. So what's holding you down? What's got you weighed down? What you thinking on? John 16. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Jesus said, I have told you these things because he has been teaching them these things since John chapter 14. For two chapters, he's teaching these things to them. And he says, in me, you will have peace. The Amplified Version says, perfect peace. That's the only place you're going to get perfect peace is with Jesus. The only place you're going to get perfect peace. So what you're thinking on? You know, there are some quotes that, and sayings that people may have and written over the years about peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means. Peace is not an absence of war. It is a virtue, a state of mind, a disposition for benevolence, confidence, and justice. True peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of justice. The last one is, peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of Christ in the midst of conflict. Perfect peace is found in Jesus and nowhere else. Perfect peace. And Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, distress, and suffering. You're going to have that. Who here has not ever had any problems in their life? Everyone. It's one of the reasons why Jesus calls us to walk in love with one another. You know why? Because this person is going through something that you may not know, and you might be thinking, you know what? They haven't been going through anything. I'm going to put more stuff on them. No, no, no. You walk in love with them. With all that was going on, when I've never, ever wanted to quit, I had stuff going on in my life. We had stuff going on in our life. But it never got to the place where, Lord, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. When you're anointed to do something, when you're called to do something, you do it. There might be days where I was like, man, I hope I can take that back on what I said. I've had those days. a lot of those days. But I don't think I've ever wanted to actually quit something. I believe some people read this passage and just right after that verse, it's like they're looking to stir up trouble in people's lives because we are in this world. It's just we are in this world. We're in it. We're not of it. And it's almost like it's a free pass to do whatever and to whoever they want to do it to. He tells us to be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. The world will try and bring trouble to believers because they don't know us. But when believers try to bring trouble to believers, it's because they've lost their way. They've lost sight of Jesus. They've lost sight. They're influenced by their flesh or by the enemy. Jesus has overcome, and since you believe in him, you are overcomers. You're all overcomers. There are some people that don't like being overcomers. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't get tired of living in victory. I don't. You know, sometimes people can be bored because it's just like, okay, I just need to do something. I'm bored, so I need to get in trouble. There's those types of people. I love you. I understand that. I used to be that way. Now, if I'm bored, I'll just go in and annoy my wife. That's fine. I'll just try to make her laugh. And sometimes it doesn't land and it ends up being annoying because I am the funniest one in the family. See, they shaking head. No, you're not. 1 John 5 says, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah, you're an overcomer. I don't know about you, but that settles it for me. You realize that in order for anyone to fail in Christ, you have to abandon what Jesus has done for you. Jesus did, when he sent the 12 out, and when he sent the 70 out, he did not send them out to fail. They were successful at what they'd done. He equipped them. He empowered them. He gave them authority. They came back with a good report. Jesus did not set the disciples up for failure. And so when we have our own kids, we don't set them up for failure either. And our own children, we don't lead them down the wrong path and set them up for failure just so they can come back to us and then we can look like the hero and say, all right, let me get it. No, we equip them with the right tools to go out and do what they're supposed to do so that they can be successful in everything they do. I want my kids to take it to another level. And then their kids to another level. I don't want them to stay the same with me where I'm at. Now I got it. Okay, you get. No. Take it to another level. Whatever God is doing in your life, roll with him, but allow him to propel you to another level. Each and every one of them. My daughter's going to be a chiropractor. Thank you, Jesus. Now I can finally go. But that requires a lot of school. I probably did more schooling than her. I should have been a doctor 8 times in a row. 8 times over. Had my PhD and master's. But you want them to take it to another level. You set them up for success, not failure. In Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. After all, what's left? If Jesus has given them power over all the power of the enemy, how much power does the enemy have? None. So how can you lose? You have the power. How can you lose? You might have moments. You might have a few defeats because you may have been deceived in certain areas or what have you. But how can you lose? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Matthew 4:4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Scripture is what we live by. It's our daily bread. This is what we live by. The scriptures, we don't live by sayings. There's a lot of sayings out there. And people will live by sayings more so than scripture. Scripture is what gets us over. You know, there's a saying, and honestly, with wholeheartedly and with sincerity, I'm not trying to start something in any way, shape, or form, but I really don't. I reject the you have to get comfortable to be uncomfortable saying. Because that's not in scripture. That's a saying. That's not something I live by. If I say that, it's for Satan. You get comfortable being uncomfortable because I'm going to continue to walk in victory. That is not for believers. Because if you ever looked at the word uncomfortable in the Bible, you know, it's not in there. Uncomfortable is not in the Bible. Matter of fact, the word uncomfortable means to cause the discomfort or annoyance. So imagine, so if there was a passage or story in the scripture that basically identifies that passage, that saying right there, get comfortable being uncomfortable, that would be like Goliath when he came out every single day and he was taunting them. He was going at them. He was defying the armies of the living God. And then the Israelites were listening to that and they were just quaking in their boots, man. They didn't want to go and challenge them. They were comfortable being uncomfortable. And this is what people would tell you. No, you can't use the word. You don't have any rights. That's not true. You have every right. You didn't give up your rights when you came into the kingdom. Do you still have free will after you received Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Do you have the right to say no? So you have the right to tell the devil no. You know who don't like it when you say no? Certain types of people. The devil. You know what happens when you put up boundaries in your life? The devil hates it. You have that right. Your rights were not stripped away when you came into the kingdom of God. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Who's our comforter? The Holy Spirit. Who's our teacher? The Holy Spirit. You can't learn from the Holy Spirit. See, what if David would have came, saw everybody quaking, and he's coming over here with some fried bologna sandwiches to feed his brothers? And he hears Goliath challenging them. Who's this guy that dares to defy the armies of the living God? Hey, Dave, don't worry about it, man. We're too busy being comfortable, being uncomfortable. So why don't you join us, have a sandwich, and you can go back and tend to your sheep. What that does is when you're being challenged by the enemy, is make you passive. And some people in the enemy will want you to be passive in your face. They don't want you to say nothing. Listen, I heard somebody once say, I believe it was Brother Hankins. He said, when you run after your giant, you run with your mouth open. David ran after Goliath with his mouth open. Some people don't want you to say anything because they want you to be passive in their face. Can you imagine me as a leader or any spiritual leader around that would make sexual advances to people? Hey, you're going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. But I can go around and do whatever it is I want to do. You better say something. You see all that junk going on now. That's just a free passage to do whatever you want to do to people. And the enemy has no right. No right. Jesus out in the wilderness. 40 days fasting. Who came at the end of the 40 days? Satan. If you're hungry, go ahead and turn this stone into bread. Jesus don't say anything. Well, let me show you all the kingdoms and the riches that you can have if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't say anything. You know why? He was too comfortable. He was getting comfortable being uncomfortable. being tempted in every way. Well, let me take you to a cliff. And you know what? If you just jump off this cliff, he will command his angels to catch you so that your foot will not dash a stone. Every single time that there was opposition that came Jesus's way, he used the word of God. Get comfortable speaking the word over your life. Get comfortable running the enemy off your family. Get comfortable standing in the presence of God. Get comfortable walking in victory. Get comfortable healing and delivering those that need it. That's what I'm going to get comfortable doing. But I'm not going to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, if you type in the word uncomfortable on your Bible app, you know the first scripture that comes up in several translations? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. See, God doesn't even want you to be on uncomfortable. But people do. Satan does. Give all your worries. Anything that is causing you discomfort or annoyance, give it to God. You don't ever have to get comfortable being uncomfortable again when it comes to the kingdom of God, because that's not from God. That's a saying that was brought into the church. See, I got sayings. I can live by sayings. Here's a saying for you if you want to hear one. You never befriend someone that tries to destroy your character, your reputation, your credibility, or your marriage, because snakes only shed their skin in order to get bigger. If you need scripture, go to Proverbs 6:12-19. Go to 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But I don't live off of that saying. I live off the word of God. There's a lot of sayings out there. When someone shows you their true colors or who they are, believe them the first time. I've been thinking about Happy Father's Day. I'm not going to go there with this one. But see, God wants you. When you step into the presence of God, when you're sitting there, I don't know about you, but I've never been uncomfortable. When I've asked for wisdom and he's given it to me, I've never been uncomfortable. And he's taught me some things. And I've learned a lot in the last 2 years, more so than the first 10 been in the ministry. A lot more. Why? I spent a lot of time with the Lord. He's showing me things, telling me things. Do I know it all? Nope. But I know more than what I did yesterday. And I'm going to continue to learn more. So watch out. Satan, not the people, Satan. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on. Our fight isn't with each other. It's the spirit that's going behind you. It's the spirit that is causing all that riff and that fight and that anguish. It's the spirit behind it. It's not with each other. Yes, I know you want to be like G. Reach out. Reach out and touch someone. You can't do that. Y'all remember that commercial? You can't. It's the spirit behind it. And that spirit will come and drive a wedge in between your family, in between your relationships, in between your coworkers. It's the spirit behind it. You have authority over that spirit. So when people are telling you, you can't say anything, oh, yes, you can. Not only can I say anything, I can use my authority. I can pray. I can walk in it. I can love you even if you don't want me to love you. You don't ever have anyone take you away from what you're called to do and strip that from you. Get comfortable making Satan uncomfortable. That's where it's at. That's where God is. He's in that one. You have authority over it. Galatians 5:26, get comfortable walking and living by the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5:26, it says, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit. with personal integrity? Oh, sorry, okay, verse 25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line our conduct. What's the next verse? Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. I said, see, some people will sit there and say, you need somebody in your life that's going to be irritating. No, you don't. You realize that that irritation and that annoyance, if it's done repeatedly, it will wear you down mentally. It will destroy you. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, and you can read every version of it, that young girl who had a spirit of divination was saying these men work for the Most High God because they come to show you the way on how to be saved. And the Bible says that that young girl, just a girl, a little girl, followed Paul for many days saying the same thing over and over and over again. And the Amplified version says that Paul was so annoyed, he was greatly annoyed and worn out. He ended up casting that spirit out of her. If you don't cast it out, it will break you down. And seeing some people want that. I believe that some people want it because they do it themselves. Little devils, you. If you're going to be irritating, at least be funny with it. You know, give somebody a chuckle while you're going at them. Be funny with it. But see, when we're walking by the Spirit, and here's the thing, we don't do that perfectly. How many of you walk by the Spirit perfectly? You never stepped out in the flesh? Not one time? I'm the only one? Yeah, right. We don't do that perfectly. But see, if you haven't done it today, I like this. I think it was the Amplified Classic that I had right here. It was different from up here. It says, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity. If you haven't done it, start today. With godly character, if you haven't done it, start today. And moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we must not become conceited, challenging, or provoking one another. You realize if you put somebody and you give them a task, that task will be challenging. But if they fail, it might have been on your fault. Because the reality of it is, you didn't equip them to be successful. I don't know about you. I said, teachers, first day of school, do you give tests on first day of school? No. Do you give tests at all? I mean, stuff. Can you imagine going to school? Whole new classroom, first day, test. There's been teachers who've done that. They didn't teach you nothing. And it's half your grade for the year. The next day, test, test, test. They're never teaching you. They're setting you up for failure if they do that. You got to teach. Then here comes the test. Allow them to apply what they've learned on the test. It's how they grow. We have to do that in life. Even when it comes to our children, what have you, you're still raising them up. Can't get mad at your kids if you didn't teach them how to do something. Didn't I tell you this? No, no, no. This is the first time you're telling me. You learn as you go. It's your first time being a dad. You learn as you go. No one's perfect in that. But our Heavenly Father is. And then you have examples with your Father. Jesus never intended for you to live in adjacent to or below the standards of what he has overcome for you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But he says not to fear. He's overcoming. That's what we set our eyes on. The no fear part. If fear comes in your way, anxiety, stress, depression. I had a young man that told me one time I was mentoring him. And he had depression. He was dealing with depression. His family has said that, you know, you're going to have to live with depression. You're going to have to get comfortable living with that depression. I mean, he had drawings of his depression and what it looked like, named it. He was getting comfortable with it. Oh, nice little depression. He was getting comfortable with it. Y'all know I don't do counseling very long. He was looking for something to, you know, to be sympathetic. I got angry with that thing. But the thing about it is that I gave him some stuff with Andrew Womack. It was, you've already got it, so quit trying to get it. Bible study. So I give him 2 or 3 chapters. We come back and talk. And then like the second week, and he already had done like 6 of those, he came to the conclusion, wait a minute, I don't have to live with this. So we prayed for that thing to go away, did, filled him with the Holy Spirit. He was good. Out the door. I wish I'd charge. I charge you for about a year's worth of stuff. We done it in 2 weeks. Some people want to play with it. You don't have to play with it. That's getting comfortable. Get comfortable being broke. No, go out and get a job and allow God to bless the work of your hands. Get comfortable being sick. No, get into the Word of God or go see a doctor. I had a toothache last night. I rarely get toothaches. But I had a gut. My wife had this in her basket. She had a sock of rice. Y'all ever had, and put it in the microwave and heat it up? Oh, that felt so good. So good. And I did something that I rarely ever do. I popped a pill. Boy, I was out. Lights out. What am I suffering for? Who am I trying to impress? But I did it by faith. But I was out like, I was up till 2 o'clock with that stuff. After that, I got up and got all that stuff done. I was out. Knocked out, snoring. On Saturday nights, I sleep in the basement because I get up about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Start praying and stuff. So I don't want to wake her up because I'm loud, as everybody says. I'm loud. I'm stomping around the house like this. It's just, no. It's loud. So I don't want to wake them up. You don't ever have to get comfortable with something that Jesus has freely forgiven you of, set you free of, delivered you from, what have you. So tell Satan, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because you're not going to have your way around here. Amen. Look at your spouse and say, hey, let's get together. Hey, Satan, get comfortable being uncomfortable, because you're not splitting us up. Kids, get comfortable being uncomfortable in the sense of, we're going to serve God with everything we have. And the enemy is not going to have his way with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the fathers that are here today, Lord. We thank you for their life, for their health, and for their strength. Lord, if there's any in here today, and you know their hearts, that are struggling having a relationship, they know you, but they don't know you, and they're struggling to know you, please reveal yourself to them and help them. They are the spiritual leader of their home. Show them how to do it and bring people across their path that can speak life into them. Lord, we thank you for every marriage in here, how you are mending it. We thank you for people walking in their ways, your ways, according to Scripture, where husbands love the wife as Christ loved the church, and the wives are submitted to their husbands because they are a godly leader. We don't do it perfectly, Lord, but we thank you that you are continually helping us and as we go. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may stand.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.